Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
New details coming from a newly unsealed search warrant.
They have girls, young girls.
Acts of abuse took place.
She was abused.
Underage girls.
Horrifying new details.
Sexual abuse.
A bed.
They can assume that that's a crime.
A sex bed inside the temple.
Some girls don't even know who their parents are.
Pregnant.
Having sex.
Naturally, that would be a form of abuse.
Sexual abuse.
Consummating that marriage in the bed.
Statutory rape.
13 or 14.
Acts of abuse.
She was abused.
Sexual abuse.
A sex bed.
Abuse.
Sex.
Sexual abuse.
Sex.
Abuse.
Sex.
Where do the kids go? A sexual slavery situation. That's what this is.
Investigators are looking into whether the tip that triggered a massive raid on a polygamous compound in Texas came from a woman in Colorado Springs. Texas Rangers traveled to Colorado Springs yesterday when Rosita Swinton was arrested, but they have not filed charges of their own.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. I was right again. Savage right again. Polygamy caller was a hoax. The question is, when will O'Reilly and the others who fuel this witch hunt apologize? There is a psychotic comedian on HBO who I will not mention. He's a twisted soul who called the Pope a Nazi and Catholicism a cult. Even that twisted sister from Hollywood is going to apologize for what he said about the Pope. I'd like to see the day that the leprechaun steps down and admits he was wrong, because this mistake has cost all of us a great deal of our freedom. And let me explain what I mean by that. You're saying, who cares about a bunch of poor white people out there practicing polygamy? Let them take the 400 children away. What do I care? Well, let me remind you of something. All it's going to take is a neighbor to call and say they hear the sounds of an animal crying in your house, and they're sure that you are molesting an animal. You're sodomizing a dog. Do you want the police to have the authority to break your door down without a court order? Do you want to give the power to the state, the powers that have been granted to the fascists in Texas? Do you want that coming to a neighborhood near you? Well, don't answer the question, because it's already happened. As a result of the lesbian feminists in child protective services around America who hate men and who hate the patriarchy, you are now a victim, whether or not you know it. Let me read you an email. Dear Michael, I have to relate to you that I've been having problems with the police and child protection services myself. We have a thuggish neighbor who filed a false report against my wife and myself for child abuse. The kicker is, we don't have a child. The police have now shown up at our house twice, and Child Protection Services showed up 2 weeks ago. This is coming to me from Hollywood, California, from a fairly prominent individual. I'll go on. When the child protection guy showed up, my wife was at home alone, and he told her there was a report of child abuse. When my wife told him we don't have a child, he peered into the house and saw photographs of children on our mantelpiece. He says, you have photos of children. One of those pictures is of me when I was 2 years old, and the other photos are of my nephews and niece. Michael, it's been terribly upsetting for my wife, as we've been trying to have a child ourselves. So to be accused of child abuse is no laughing matter. And what kind of sick individual would make such a false claim? Anyway, these people are out of control. You are right. It is like the Soviet Union. We are being treated as guilty without having even done anything. Thought I'd relate this personal episode. A.S. So this is coming to me from Hollywood, California now. This is what is happening in America. And what you see happening in Texas, being fanned by the lowlifes at Fox News in particular, who live off scandal and apparently live off sexual innuendo with regard to any story and every story they can get their hands on, and they won't even apologize about it. You heard what happened, didn't you? Have you heard the story or haven't you heard the story? Do you understand it? A 33-year-old Colorado Springs woman has been questioned about a telephone call that sparked the raid at the Polygamous Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints compound in Weston, Texas, 2 weeks ago. Rosita Swinton was arrested at her home Wednesday night by Colorado Springs police for an incident that occurred in February. But wait, listen to the kicker. Members of the Texas Rangers were also in Colorado Springs as part of their investigation involving the compound in Texas. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the country you now live in, a country where a bunch of thugs can break your door down because a group of mean-faced, clipped-haired man-haters say that they heard there's child abuse in your house. But I have a question for you. Don't you think that news media that is irresponsible like this, that fans the flames of such hysteria, is partly responsible for it? Don't you think that news media outlets that have fanned the flames on this issue without any proof should apologize? Well, you know they never will. The only apology that will work is when they're sued by these victims of their salacious yellow journalism. Phone number 1-800-449-8255. Website, michaelsavage.com. We are also going to talk about the Pope in America. We're going to talk about the various issues of the Pope being in America, including the story that he has attended a Passover service this evening somewhere in Washington, D.C. That should be interesting. We're going to talk about the traitor, Benedict Arnold Jimmy Carter, who has met with America's most dangerous enemy. Lawmakers are now passing around a bill to revoke Carter's passport and cut off all funding to the Jimmy Carter Library or whatever the heck it is. There are many, many other stories I will get to. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. If you'd like to read about the false accusations against these poor people in Texas and give me credit for being the only one in the media to A, have seen this for what it was, B, had the guts to speak out about it before anybody else, why don't you give me a call and say, Savage, you're right. Well, I don't think I'll get that call too soon. Jim, WOR, New York City, go ahead, please. You're the first up.
Savage, you're right.
That's what I want to hear. Savage, you're right. I like that.
Well, first of all, thank you for sticking up for these people when nobody else will. You're right. Nobody wants to stick their neck out and defend people just because they don't agree with their lifestyle. I don't agree with their lifestyle.
Neither do I. But let me say something. I'm going to tell you what's coming next. Polygamists are going to challenge in court their right to practice a plural wife situation, is what they call it, plural wives. After all, wasn't it two homosexuals in Texas that sued and said they have a right to practice sodomy, even though sodomy was outlawed? Remember that case in Texas a while back?
Law, right.
Right. And then the case of sodomy between men went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, oh, you're entitled to practice your lifestyle of sodomy, because we are a state and we have no right to interfere in anyone's individual rights. Well, I suspect that the polygamists, or as they call it, the plural wives folks, are going to challenge this all the way to the Supreme Court. And by the way, the sodomy ruling is liable to be precedent for them.
Right. Well, I have been through this myself with CPS. And what happens is if somebody's mad at you, all it takes is an anonymous phone call.
That's right. The Gestapo, the mean-faced, clipped-haired Gestapo, unleashes tax squads down your chimney. Thanks for the call. Okay, so I was right and you were wrong. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Any topic is not fair game. I want to talk about this. Eventually, I'll talk about other topics. My second headline, remember I write these headlines because they say it like it is. Mormon kids attacked by media atheists and crackpot judge dancing to tune of CPS beasts. Now, that's a colorful, salty headline. That's absolutely true. Mormon kids attacked by media atheists and crackpot judge dancing to the tune of CPS beasts. That's exactly what went on here. Here's another story. Praying Orthodox Jew removed from plane at JFK. That's right. In the United States of America, a passenger who left his seat to pray in the back of a plane before it took off and ignored flight attendants' orders to return for 2 minutes was removed by an airport security guard. A witness in the airline said, did you hear this story? He was an Orthodox Jew. He was standing near the lavatories. He began saying his prayers while the United Airlines jet was being boarded at JFK on Wednesday. When flight attendants urged the praying man, who was carrying a religious book, to take his seat, he ignored them. Two of his religious friends who were seated, tried to tell the flight attendants that the man could not stop until after he'd finished his prayers in about 2 minutes. When the man finally stopped praying, he explained that he couldn't interrupt his religious ritual and wasn't trying to be rude, but the attendants summoned a guard to remove him, said a writer who had been visiting New York to talk to publishers. Where does Michael Savage stand on this case? The airline was 100% right to remove him from the airplane. They must make an example of him. We cannot have people using religious reasons to make up their own rules as to when or when not they will sit down on an airplane. Why do I say it? Because if we make an exception for the Orthodox Jew, who was not a terrorist, to stand there and pray because his religion calls for that, why the next day a Muslim could get up in the middle of a flight when he's told to sit down and say it's his religious right to get up and pray when he may be right. It may be his religious right. But what happens if another day a terrorist dresses up like an Orthodox Jew and he's really not praying, but he's getting ready to, let's say, break into the pilot's cabin or whatever? So in this case, the airline did exactly the right thing. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. And my name, of course, is Michael Savage without the .com on the back of it. Albany, New York. Daniel, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
God bless you, Michael. You've taught me so much. You've been like an uncle, a grandfather, or whatever. You're the only one that's ever done what you do. God bless you. And I'd like to say, when my three-year-old little sister got molested, the mean-faced, clipped-haired ladies, they wouldn't listen to her, and they would not prosecute the woman that she pointed out.
Oh, a woman did it. I see. But because a woman molested your sister, they wouldn't investigate, huh? The beasts in CPS, the monster of monsters, the Nazis of our time, the oven stuffers.
God bless you, Michael Savage. Just God bless you.
I know. I saw this coming 20 years ago. I saw the pig faces from the Holocaust, only now they were working for the CPS. Houston, Texas, David, KPRC Country. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I wanted to let you know, I was listening to your show earlier in the week when you were talking about this being possibly a hoax, and I really had to sit and think about it. And then you had a caller come in, I think he was a former police officer, who had also said that this is running in conjunction with what was going on with Mitt Romney. And I just want to say thank you for opening my eyes to this alternate reality that you're...
Well, that's it. See, if we let the media do what Fox News was doing, which is sex colony, sex slave, sex colony, molestation, sex colony, sex slave, we're all dead. We're all finished. If we let those yellow journalist jackals get away with this, what will they do tomorrow?
It is splattered all over the place here in Houston, including conversations in hallways and coffee shops, and no one wants to actually say what you say, which is pretty much...
But wait a minute. But are they whispering that maybe it was wrong for armed police with armored personnel carriers, bulletproof vests and machine guns to break into a church where unarmed men, women, and children were congregating and steal 400 children from their mothers?
I haven't heard too many whispers of that. I mean, it's basically those poor children, those men are pigs, those women...
I see. The men are bad. So they've eaten it. They've taken it lock, stock, and barrel. I know that. Most Americans are sheeple and stupid. They don't know what's going on. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, I have stopped trying to appeal to liberals the few times I did it because they will never admit that they're wrong. All of them should agree with me. All of them should salute me for what I've done with regard to this illegal, immoral raid upon the Texas compound. They should understand the bigger picture. They should understand that everything they claim to be for is expressed in how the Texas state authorities behaved in this particular raid. This is the classic example of an overbearing government, which liberals apparently no longer care about. What they really care about are their own particular issues. And it's a shame that they don't have the character to stand up for Christians in a case like this. It really is a shame. That's all I can say. Now, if you think that I was pandering here for a reason, you're mistaken. I want to remind you, for those of you who have only been listening for a while to this show, there was a black basketball player a few years ago named Kobe Bryant. I studied that case for a few days and came to the conclusion right off the bat that Kobe Bryant had been falsely accused by Rocky Mountain White Trash, and I started hammering her as Rocky Mountain White Trash from day three. And I didn't let up until 9 months later when Kobe Bryant walked out of that courtroom exonerated. And so the fact of the matter is, I can pretty much determine what's going on faster than anybody in the media. I'm the Wyatt Earp of talk radio. WOR, Al, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you got it all wrong. Once again, you're arrogant as all get out. Listen, I don't agree with taking the guy to his chair and saying, hey, listen, pray there. Why do they have to say pray next to the bathroom? Why was he praying next to the bathroom? That right there is sick in and of itself. But they didn't have to take him off the plane. They could have just
Yes, they did. He violated their rules. You can't permit people to make up their own rules. Because the minute you open the door for someone to do what they want with regard to religious beliefs on an airplane, Pandora's box is opened and there's no putting a Pandora back inside that box.
Place. That's sick. That is sick in itself. But, I mean, let's...
is there something wrong with you? What part is sick? What do you keep going on with sick? What's sick?
Why is he praying next to the toilets? That's sick.
But he wasn't praying to the toilet, Al. He was praying to not bother people by going back to the back of the airplane. That was the point.
Standing next to the laboratories?
Where should he have stood? Because in the laboratory is where people usually stand outside there. Don't you get it? In other words, the few places you're allowed to stand on an airplane, there's only a few places you can stand on an airplane. One of them is outside the laboratory. So the guy figured he'd be safer there rather than in the aisle. No, that made sense. But when the stewardess said, I'm sorry, you have to sit down, he had to sit down. He could chuckle in his chair. Thank you for the call. Salt Lake City, Robert, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, you are a courageous guy. I admire you greatly. You're telling the absolute truth about this polygamous sect. And the question is, who will be next? Thank you for what you said.
That's right. Who will be next? I don't know how to get it across to heads of people listening. You are all at risk if you let the Texas Rangers and whoever broke into that compound get away with it. They should be sued for every dime they're worth. The state should be broken over the knee of truth and the knee of justice. And I hope the lawyers destroy the state of Texas for what they've done to these poor people.
Savage.
Former member who has been an outspoken critic of the polygamous practices says that she thinks she may have been talking to Colorado Springs' Rosita Swinton on the phone, with Swinton claiming to be Sarah's twin sister.
Very convincing, very interesting dialogue that I had with this woman. I did get her to admit to me that her name was Rose. And she said, do you even understand what you're doing is wrong? That numerous households and numerous children have been questioned as a result of the lies you've been telling?
So there it is. Everyone knows about this except the yellow journalists in the media who have fanned the flames of this. And I've made my point. I mean, I'm not going to go on and on about this. If we want to talk about it, we can. It'll get bigger and it'll get lower. And then they'll come up with evidence that they were raped and the state now has so much at stake, they're going to have to invent child abuse. However, let me explain something to you. The law is very specific. And we have to thank our liberal friends for this, to be honest with you. If they got a court order based upon a specific event and used that as a pretext to bust up the compound and take away 413 children or whatever the number is, and it turns out that court order was based upon a false accusation, then the entire case gets thrown out. They cannot use that. They can't say, well, we went in there and found evidence that there was this or that going on. You understand they can't do that. That violates several of the amendments in our Bill of Rights. And thank God that we do have a Bill of Rights. The only problem is, I don't know if the lawyers are good enough here, because they need a really good lawyer, a really great lawyer. And maybe they have one. I don't know who's down there. There's hundreds of lawyers representing the children and the women. Some of them were appointed by the state, so they may actually turn on the children and women. I don't know exactly how they're going to handle it. So the raid was all wrong based upon a false accusation. Therefore, even let's say they went in based on a false accusation, and then they found cocaine in there, which they didn't. They could then not make drug charges against them. The case would be thrown out. There are numerous case precedents on this. You need a specific court order. Otherwise, you have illegal search and seizures going on across America where police can conduct fishing expeditions on any one of our houses at any time for anything. And we don't want to live in that country. None of us want to live there. So understand your Constitution before you eat the malarkey that the blarney thrower up there in New York has been throwing you. Before you eat the corned beef and cabbage that the malarkey thrower has been throwing out, you better understand how dangerous it is to permit yellow journalists like this to fan the flames of hatred. KNEW, Bill, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I can't believe this. I'm agreeing with you. I agree with you on the polygamous issue. I also agree with you on the rabbi praying in the aisle issue. I just can't believe it. Maybe I'm changing, but I completely agree on both of those.
In other words, you normally listen, but you don't agree with anything. You're on the other side of the political spectrum, right?
Absolutely. I'm usually way over on the other side listening to you.
Okay, but but here's the difference. You may be way over on the other side, but you're listening to the show probably on a fairly irregular or regular basis. I don't know how often. It's not a litmus test. But now you hear what I have to say. At least you're open-minded to say he makes sense in this case. That's all I ask. I don't ask people to sit there and hate me or to sit there and love me. I ask people to sit there and listen and use their own thinking.
Well, I agree with you on both those points, and I think it's outrageous.
Well, now if you'd only give up your marijuana and stop putting Obama signs on your lawn, we could be friends.
Yeah, okay, Michael. All righty.
I'm joking. Stop. It's okay. But at least the guy had the guts to call the show. He says, maybe I'm changing. I don't know what he is. And I'm not here to generalize about a man I don't know. But that's the story. So the praying, did you hear that one? Maybe you've just tuned in, you don't know. An Orthodox Jewish guy was praying in the back of a plane. Plane was going to take off. Stewardesses or flight attendant said, sit down, sir. He couldn't do it. His religion says he can't do anything until he finishes praying 2 more minutes. Friends who were traveling with him were sitting down, said he can't stop praying once he starts. They took him off the airplane. I agree with the airline. Why do I agree with the airline? I respect religious doctrine. I respect religious people. But I also respect the law of the land. And we cannot start bending the law of the land to every religion in the country. KNEW, Lee, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, how's it going? I agree with you on this polygamous thing, and I think you need to keep pounding these guys till the government's on the other side of the bench on this. They need to get some justice.
Okay.
And as far as the Catholic thing where the guy on HBO said the Catholic was a cult, their cult business or whatever, I think there's probably some precedence for that statement. I think you need to check it out.
All right. Well, there's a different issue. Whether or not I totally disagree with him about a religion being a cult, because you could say any religion is a cult by that definition. One can define all religions as cults, Lee, if you actually think about it. If you were to read what a cult is, every religion qualifies for that definition. So to single out Catholicism is unreal and it's untrue. Every religion is a cult. Judaism could be seen as a cult, couldn't it, Lee?
Well, no, yeah, and you guys are calling the polygamists. It's a cult. It's a sect. It's this. It's
well,
that.
Right, but you could say that baptism is a cult, dipping people in water. So what is a cult and what is a religion? A religion is a cult that has enough members sitting on the bench and sitting in newspapers. Thanks for the call. In other words, when a cult becomes big enough that it has enough power to control what people think about it, it becomes a religion. You know, if you actually study... I know sometimes it's hard to do this, but if you study Judaism and how it started, okay, and we've all heard 1,000, you know, jokes about it, this and that, and take it for what it is. Either you believe in religion or you don't. Either you take it whole or you don't take it at all. There's no half measure with religion, because once you start analyzing it, you can't be religious once you start dissecting. And that leaves you in a very dangerous place, because then what do you believe in? You say, I believe in nothing, so therefore I prove you believe in something. How many times have I said to you, if you say, I'm an atheist, I believe in nothing, and I say to you, therefore you believe in something? You said, what? I just said I believe in nothing. I said, yes, you believe in something. The guy says, no, I believe in nothing. I said, yes, that proves you believe in something. And you go around and around in that, because believing in nothing is believing in something. Because if you believe in nothingness, then you still believe in something. You believe in nothingness. And therefore you yourself are practicing a sort of religion in its own way. Your religion is atheism. And so I can go with you on this one as far as you want to go, but we don't have to have that argument, you know. The whole reason for a religion, as far as I'm concerned, is to give a person some sense of peace in life, some connection to the past, and some way to deal with death and sickness on earth. and to help the transition through death. I mean, that to me is the meaning of religion. Otherwise, there's no reason for religion. What else is the reason? What, to give money to some guy who prays for you? You get what I'm saying to you? We're going to talk about religion today, and I'll tell you why. We're going to slowly segue from the polygamy thing and the Orthodox Jewish man thrown off the plane for praying too long when the flight attendant sets it down. I want to tell you today about the meaning of Passover, and the reason I'm going to do this is because the Passover is tomorrow night, the first night of Passover. I'll explain what it is. The Pope is here in America, and even he went to a service tonight, a pre-Passover Sabbath service at a synagogue, I think, in Washington, D.C. And I would like to explain the meaning of the holiday of Passover and what it means to people. And, I mean, beyond the ritual, what it actually means in a person, what it can mean, for a person, and how it can be used to improve yourself. I mean, again, if religion doesn't in some way give you courage, if religion somehow doesn't give you strength, if religion somehow doesn't give you hope, then that religion is useless as far as I'm concerned. Religion has to give you some connections, some connection to the ultimate power that drives the whole universe. And, you know, the more I have studied, and sometimes more actively than others in my life, and I've studied a variety of religions. I've looked for the truth and religion in so many different places and ways. My head spins when I think about it. You know, all of it is an attempt to find a meaning in life. What am I doing here? What's the purpose on life? Why do good people suffer? Why do bad people sometimes not suffer? The eternal questions. And if you find answers in your religion, you're lucky. Most people don't. Most people, in my experience, either go to church and synagogue and go along with the program and don't even know what they're doing there, and they hear nothing. They're numb. They go in numb, and they come out numb, and they got nothing from it. Occasionally, a person is touched or reached by one of the holy books sitting there, or by a teacher. Occasionally, someone is touched, and that's good enough. You can't expect an entire flock to be touched. But there's a higher thing in religion that I've seen, whether it be Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, or Islam, or even Hinduism. All of it is an attempt to tap into some power, even paganism, if you want to go to the not one of the five religions, but to paganism itself, which doesn't even believe in God. It's people trying to tap into a power that runs through them. They want the power. They want the energy. They want to be enervated. They want to feel the power. They don't want to be de-enervated. They don't want to go to a church and come away feeling weaker than when they went in. So we'll put it in another way. Many, every year, people go to Lourdes Cathedral. By the hundreds of thousands, they flock to Lourdes Cathedral. The people believe that if they touch the holy water in Lourdes Cathedral, they can be healed. They believe the cripple can walk, the blind can see, the deaf can hear. And sometimes people will jump up and say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. So again, what are the people going there for? They're going for the quote, miracle. What's the miracle? The energy. What's the energy? The energy is the power that drives the entire universe. It's the energy that, let's say, a plant, I'm sorry to put it in that context, but a plant, a plain old plant growing in your backyard, a blade of grass. If you truly understood how a blade of grass can start from a seed, a dormant, dead thing, and turn into a beautiful green thing, you'd understand what I'm talking about. Because that seed is you. Many of us are walking around like a seed, a husk, a dead seed. But inside that apparently dead seed, there's a living green piece of grass. Just as inside a chestnut, there's an oak tree. So many of us are this seed. We're walking our whole lives like a seed, waiting for someone, whether it be a woman, if it's a man, or a man, it's a woman, a man, something to awaken the seed into life and make that seed become alive and a piece of green grass or a tree grow from it. In other words, we come to life, to put it in simple terms. But people often will try to find that through religion. Some do. Some go every Sunday to church. Some go every day to church. Devout Muslim prays six times a day. He believes he's reaching God in those six times a day. He feels the energy. And, you know, many of us can't feel it at all when we're alone. But when you talk about going into a temple, a mosque, a church. Have you ever been in St. Patrick's Cathedral, for example, as I have been on a Christmas Eve, or you have been inside an Orthodox Jewish temple in Brooklyn, New York, where there are 5,000 men at the same time chanting, or if you have even been in a village setting where there are 20 men chanting, you'll feel an energy that you'll never feel alone. So there's an argument for the congregation. The congregation. That's it. But I haven't touched on Passover yet, and I will when I return here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
No, this is an historic day, by the way, in world history, because Pope Benedict XVI is visiting Parkey Synagogue on Manhattan's Upper East Side tonight. And this is the first ever papal visit to a synagogue in the United States, and only the third such visit by a pope to any synagogue in the world. And the pope addressed the congregation today. Why don't we play the first clip, please?
Dear friends, shalom. It is with joy that I come here, just a few hours before the celebration of your Pesach, to express my respect and esteem for the Jewish community in New York City. The proximity of this place of worship to my residence gives me the opportunity to greet some of you today. I find it moving to recall that Jesus as a young boy heard the words of Scripture and prayed in a place such as this. I thank Rabbi Schneier for his words of welcome, and I particularly appreciate your kind gift, the spring flowers and the lovely song that the children sung for me. I know that the Jewish community make a valuable contribution to the life of the city, and I encourage all of you to continue building bridges of friendship with all the many different ethnic and religious groups present in your neighborhood. I assure you most especially of my closeness at this time as you prepare to celebrate the great deeds of the Almighty and to sing the praises of Him who has worked such wonders for his people. I would ask those of you who are present to pass on my greetings and good wishes to all the members of the Jewish community. Blessed the name of the Lord.
Well, there it was. You just heard a very historic speech. I mean, this is not to be taken lightly. It has tremendous symbolic power. For the Pope to have visited a synagogue in the U.S. As I said, it's only the first such visit by a Pope to any synagogue. And these are very, very strange times, very challenging times. And I sense that there's a reason for this visit that goes beyond the apparent. I think the Pope understands the danger that Western civilization is facing. I know it because I've read what he's written over the years. I remember this Pope, Pope Benedict, when he was a cardinal, wrote the speeches for the former pope, and they were very clear about the downturn of Western civilization because of the anti-life behavior of so many individuals and the rampant abortion, the euthanasia, homosexuality, and the other cults of death, as he called them. And the pope understands also that Western civilization is facing the threat of radical Islam, which is trying to engulf the world. He understands this. He is also trying to pay to unite the Jewish people and the Christian people because he understands what's coming. Truly, he understands what's coming, and it's going to be like a tidal wave that's going to sweep over all of our lives, and it's going to happen when we least expect it. And when this tidal wave hits this country, as no doubt it will, the last thing he wants is one religion turning on another. That's my opinion as to why the Pope is here, amongst other reasons, okay? So I don't want to dwell on that particular dark vision that I have for what's coming, but just read the Bible and you can see the rest of the story, as they say. Now, before this hour closes on the Savage Nation, I told you before, I was, you know I'm right on the Texas polygamy raid, totally false accusations. I was right on Kobe Bryant being falsely accused by the Rocky Mountain trash woman, who, by the way, still isn't in jail. But remember who it was, who was first in the media to call it like it turned out to be on the Duke Durham case. Do you remember I studied it for a few days and I said she's a liar? That stripper is a liar. I called her the Durham dirtbag over and over again, and the media called me names. They put me down. Remember how it turned out? The DA went to jail. the Duke players were not only exonerated, they sued the university for millions after their lives were almost ruined. But the Durham dirtbag is still not in prison. Apparently because the mean-faced, clipped-haired women run this whole racket. Anybody can say they were raped. Anybody can make up a false charge about child or sexual abuse and get away with it. The laws need to be changed immediately. And if someone raises a charge such as rape, which is about as serious as they get, they have to be exposed for who they are. I don't want to hear the nonsense they're afraid of being hurt. They're already hurting somebody because if they make it up, they're killing somebody. If you destroy a man's reputation, it is as though you have killed him. So we need some renovation in the law. The laws must be changed. No more hiding behind this, oh, little old me, I'm afraid to name my name to be exposed. That's number one. Number two, anybody who makes a false charge of rape and is found to be a liar gets the same punishment that the person they were trying to put in jail should get. That Durham dirtbag should be away for 30 years. Phone number, you know the number. Website, michaelsavage.com. Topic, the false charges against the cult in Texas. The yellow journalism of those in the news who conducted this witch hunt and are now making believe they didn't and getting away with virtual murder. They have murdered an entire generation of children down there. They can't then hide behind the American flag tomorrow and make believe they're wonderful, loyal Americans. You know, half of those people talk about character and they wrote books on character. What kind of character is this to character assassinate an entire group of people in Texas? That's character? I made my point. That's all. In the next hour, we'll talk about this, all the rest of the news, the Pope visiting a synagogue in New York, which is historically beautiful, by the way. It's actually great to see this. And then again, for a few seconds, the meaning of Passover, for those of you who want to know whether you be Jewish or Christian or atheistic and don't even understand it. I don't mean about the mythology about God having passed over the houses and spared all of the firstborn. I think that's the standard version that you don't need meat for. I mean about the deeper meaning. If some of you want to understand what a Passover dinner is and what it means for you and what it means, what it can mean for you, that's what I want to do.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Of the Texas Rangers. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on facts. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious
right.
reasons.
The day they raided an unarmed church with body armor, armored personnel carriers, and machine guns, and made a group of women cry and stole children from the arms of their mothers. That's the world we live in. But, of course, they didn't design the raid. The raid was designed by the mean-faced, clipped-haired women who run Child Protective Services, along with a crackpot judge they found in some country courthouse. And then, of course, once the fire was started in the Texas prairies, the salacious yellow journalists started to fan the flames of hatred against these poor people in this church. Listen, for example, to this montage of accusations coming out of New York's lowest sewers.
New details coming from a newly unsealed search warrant.
They have girls, young girls.
Acts of abuse took place.
She was abused.
Underage girls.
Horrifying new details.
Sexual abuse.
A bed.
They can assume that that's a crime.
A sex bed inside the temple.
Some girls don't even know who their parents are.
Pregnant.
Having sex.
Naturally, that would be a form of abuse.
Sexual abuse.
Consummating that marriage in the bed.
Statutory rape.
13 or 14.
Acts of abuse.
She was abused.
Sexual abuse.
A sex bed.
Abuse.
Sex.
Sexual abuse.
Sex.
Abuse.
Sex.
Where do the kids go? A sexual slavery situation. That's what this is.
Okay. That's what this is? Really, Bill? Are you sure that's what this is? Could it be that you're a slave to ratings? That's what this is? Well, we'll have to tune in and find out when this finally ends. But the national news media, which I affectionately call the midstream media, has not yet apologized to these poor people. And I want to remind you that I believe as a result of this raid, we're going to see a challenge all the way to the Supreme Court with regard to polygamy, which the people who practice it call, I think, multiple plural marriage, and they will win because the precedent is the sodomy case in Texas, if you don't remember. When two homosexual men who had been arrested for engaging in sodomy sued, went all the way to the Supreme Court said the state has no right to dictate sexual practices in the United States of America. Therefore, sodomy laws were thrown out. Well, next will be polygamy laws. And, of course, after that, you will have people who have sex with animals suing, and those laws will be thrown out. And we warned you that this is what's going to happen, but what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and that's what's going to come next. We're also talking about the Pope. This is a historic day. Pope Benedict XVI went to New York City. He visited a synagogue. It's the first ever visit by a pope to a synagogue in the United States, which is historic because it's also the only third such visit by a pope to any synagogue. But before I go into any of these issues here on the Savage Nation, I want to just continue something I started in the last hour. The Jewish people are a very small minority in terms of numbers, both in the world and the United States of America. And they will be having religious Jews, even I think actually non-religious Jews have a Seder tomorrow night. Maybe Christians sometimes go to them, or if there's been intermarriage between Christians and Jews, now many Christians understand what a Seder is. Sometimes Christians go to a Seder because they have Jewish friends. And it's a rather peaceful, nice long meal with, various ritualistic events, including the unleavened bread or the matzah. And what does the unleavened bread signify? It signifies the time of haste when the Jewish people were fleeing Egypt and they had to make the bread in the desert. They didn't have time to allow the dough to rise. So the story goes, and the children love this kind of thing if they understand it at all. I don't even know if they teach it to children anymore. So the children understand that their ancestors were once slaves, but they don't quite understand what that really means. But what a modern Passover Seder can mean to millions of people, which the ancient Seder may not connect in the same way. And I'm not against tradition, but I'm just saying that a lot of people don't even, you know, hear it anymore and don't want to listen, is that although people say, well, our ancestors were slaves, it has no meaning. What it can come to mean is we are still slaves in our own life, and we can also break the bonds of slavery in our own life anytime we want. So in other words, if you take it as a personal Seder, a personal Passover, you can learn to release yourself from your own chains, whether it be alcohol, drugs, sexual addiction, or God knows what it is, gambling addiction. You could say you are a slave, and you could decide that you understand you're enslaved, and you could decide that from that day forward, you're going to seek to break those chains of bondage, and you can become a free man or a free woman. I mean, that's another way to interpret what the significance, in order to give it eternal meaning and modern meaning. You have to take from the ancient to the modern and give it some modern meaning, or else it will lose its meaning altogether, as far as I can tell. Now I'll take your calls, now that I got that out of the way. To most people, it has to do with chicken chopped liver and fish and brisket and things of that nature, and drinking too much wine, because you're supposed to drink 4 cups of wine. Basically, it's an excuse to get drunk around a communal table in a nice setting with clean tablecloths and good silverware to too many people. So what would you like to talk about in this hour in the Savage Nation? There are many, many other topics that we haven't touched on. You want to talk about multiple marriage? Would you like to talk about the fact that I was the only one in the media to call it like it was in Texas? Would you like to talk about the yellow journalism that those in the media have practiced, which they have not yet apologized for? Would you like to talk about the poor children in Texas, 400 of them? Now, even though this was based upon a false charge, once the state grabs your children, in this case it's their children, the state's still going to go ahead with putting them into foster care. Now, I got to ask you something. Do you think these children are going to be better off being disseminated out to households around southern Texas to be put into a house with internet pornography, Xboxes, and the other things of modern civilization which are plaguing the average public? Don't you think these children would have grown up healthier in that so-called sect where there's an authoritarian creed? I do. And I don't think it's anybody's business as far as how these people practice their lives, because they were not hurting the children. Hurting the children is what is done in the normal American household by and large. That's hurting the children. Just turn on any of the shows which show some of the garish mothers, such as the Real Lives of the what's the one that they have now? The Real Housewives of Orange County. Then they came to the Real Housewives of New York. That's child abuse. Raising a daughter in a house like that with a hysterical, crazy, sex-crazed mother like that, that's child abuse. Okay? What are you going to do now? Say the state should go in and take the child away because the mother's a sex maniac? Of course not. But that's what goes on in this country. The polygamy caller was a hoax. When will the yellow journalists who fueled this witch hunt apologize? The answer, never, until they're sued by the people who are you know, hit by it. All right, so here we go. Callers on the Savage Nation. KNEW, San Francisco. I'll be nice today. KNEW, San Fran. I mean, I don't even know how to say it anymore. Let me try to say San Francisco again. San Francisco, KNEW, Bob, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Fruit and nuts. Hey, there's this Texas seizure of the offspring is forwarding two liberal collectivist objectives. First, follow the money. Homeschooling is what these kids were getting.
Yes.
You transfer these 416 kids on over to be wards of the state, and there's going to
yes.
be about $7,000 a kid, $3 million more to local government coffers.
Aha. Uh-huh. Interesting. Good. And, of course, CPS gets to justify its fascism and its budget.
Yeah, and secondly, the second one is the more chilling one, though, because, you know, of course, children can only be safe when they're in the benevolent care of the state, where the collective will can prevail and be propagated.
That's unfortunate. But what you're saying is definitely the psychology behind this raid and why liberals in the media, such as those on Fox News, are in favor of it. Thanks for the call. Houston, Texas. Alex, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I'll tell you exactly what's on my mind. First of all, you're a fantastic American. I listen to your show all the time.
That's nice to hear. I'm glad somebody thinks so.
What's really on my mind is the fact that, you know, I don't know who, you know, could come after me next. For I just had one of my friends, you know, happen with the whole reparations thing. And I never hear any news about, you know, like, the Jewish people going after the Egyptians for enslaving their, you know, enslaving their people.
Well, yeah, no, that's, of course, well, the reparations story has been put on the side now that Obama's so prominent because they know it would flare up the white person. So all of that talk that came out of the mouths of the race mongers has, they've dampened it all down for a while. But you can bet your boots, if God forbid this man should connive his way into the White House, you'll hear a lot about reparations.
That's true. Oh, yeah.
It's not on the table now. I'd like to hear one of the in the debates ask him where he stands on reparations. That would be a great question. Ask all of the candidates what they think about that. That was very hot a few years ago. That's been put on the shelf for a while. Praying Orthodox Jew removed from plane at JFK. That's a story I covered. I agree with the airline on that. Pope tells us to accept illegals. Well, we actually discussed that yesterday, and although it was ambiguous, we're not so sure that the Pope meant that, so we let that one ride, because he may not have actually told us to accept illegals. He may have said, be kind to those in church once they're there and accept them as human beings. I accept that philosophically, because the Pope didn't actually come out and nakedly say we should accept more illegals. Okay, so we covered that yesterday. I'd rather not argue about that again today on the Savage Nation. Other stories. England engulfed by German stench. I know that. What does that have to do with anything? Well, that's on michaelsavage.com if you're into that kind of thing. lawmaker crusades to ban truck. No, I can't even read that from bumpers. There's a thing that someone has invented. They dangle from rear bumpers of trucks that I can't even use the name of on the show. But people laugh when they see them going by, and lawmakers are now saying they want to ban these truck blanks from bumpers. That's their business, too. Pornography is okay. Child abuse is okay. The seizure of children is okay. But a little innocent thing like this hanging from the back of a truck, that's not okay, according to the morons who are called legislators. Let's see what else we have. Well, this Bill Ayers didn't really catch fire, but when the so-called phony debate occurred the other day between Clinton and Obama, it came up that this guy, Obama, is very friendly with an ex-bomb maker, bomb thrower, Bill Ayers, and his wife, who the Washington Post is trying to make into respectable, charitable liberals, okay? And then Obama had the nerve to compare a pro-life senator to terrorist Ayers. These are two big stories, which we linked up from various websites on my site. And, of course, this thing about Jimmy Carter, this is going beyond the crazy uncle already. This is going beyond one man's opinion already. This is treason. Jimmy Carter should have his passport revoked. And Jimmy Carter, frankly, is a very dangerous man. Let's go to the callers now, the minute I come back, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Be worried. Be very, very worried that a state based upon a false accusation can break in the door of a church, take 400 children from their mother's arms with machine guns, armored personnel carriers. Be worried, be very worried indeed. This crosses all political lines. This is something that liberals should be rallying around. The ACLU, if they were a valid organization, which they are not, should be defending these mothers instead of cheering on the sidelines for a fascistic state action of this nature. This is something that libertarians should be angered about. This is something that true conservatives should be very upset about. And the only people who were cheering on the Texas Rangers in this case were the yellow journalists, by the way. We're also talking about Pope Benedict becoming the first pope to visit an American synagogue. It's a big deal. You're living through historic times. I really would like to have been there, frankly. But okay, I'm here in California. That's fine. I heard his very short 1.5-minute talk. And he's 81 years old, and he briefly stopped in. And he said, I find it moving to recall that Jesus as a young boy heard the words of Scripture and prayed in a place such as this. He is trying to bring Christians and Jews together. He is trying to unify Western civilization. He knows what's coming. He knows the threats, both external and internal. He has written about it. He's a brilliant intellectual on top of it all. Angelo, W-O-R, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mike. I'd like to talk about the a Christian perspective on the Passover.
Go ahead.
And, if you remember Abraham bringing Isaac to Mount Moriah, and if you remember Isaac was surrounded by two men carrying wood, Abraham brings him to the Mount Moriah and begins to offer him as a sacrifice. There's a ram caught in the thicket, head lodged in thorns.
This has nothing to do with the Passover Seder. This is not at all to do with the Passover Seder. The Passover Seder has something to do with Egypt and the Jews being slaves in Egypt and marking the doors of the Jewish homes. And when the angel of death passed over, the angel of death did not take the sons, the firstborn of the Jewish people. I mean, that's what the Passover is all about.
Right, but I think there is an interrelatedness, and if you look at...
I'm not going to get... It's too complicated because everyone's going to start bringing in their own thing. Portland, Oregon. Josh, KXL, go ahead, please.
Hi there. So the thing I find the most interesting about the whole polygamy business is I really think the porn industry should be scared of this because, I mean, look at the amount of partners that some of these guys have, the amount of... the total amount of disregard for a single relationship. I mean, that's kind of a big deal with them.
The hook here for the state to go in are the children. They claim they're helping the children when in fact they're damaging the children. That's the issue here. Yes, the porn industry is demented and evil, and it's weakened the entire society and all of civilization on the planet. We all know that. But the fact of the matter is, if they use children, they go to jail. So they're very careful not to use children. If they do, it's child pornography. The punishment is very severe. So there's no hook there, Josh. That's the problem with pornography. A better argument could be made for a polygamous homosexual relationship in a household in which there are children who have been adopted. That's a better argument. In other words, let's say there's a relationship where there's no marriage, but a single person who happens to be gay adopted a child or whatever, and that person brings multiple partners into the house. Isn't that the same problem, even worse than polygamy in Texas?
Savage.
We're talking about a grave miscarriage of state authority in the raid in Texas. This is a criminal act. Everyone listening to this show should be very worried. How many times do I have to repeat to you that all it's going to take now, whether you're a liberal or a conservative, I don't care what you are, what, for a neighbor who doesn't like you to call up CPS and based upon a false charge, they can break your door in and say there's child abuse? How in the world can you support this? This is a hoax. It's based upon a hoax. So now they dig up perverted psychiatrists who they march into the courtroom down there, and they get this guy who says, they get some doctor who says he's a psychiatrist, an authority on children and cults. Here's what he said in the court. He said, the sect's belief system is abusive. The culture is very authoritarian, said Dr. Bruce Perry, a psychiatrist and an authority on children and cults. I'd like to see the children he raised if he even has children. But then he was questioned by defense lawyers, thank God, who lined up in the courtroom aisles to have a turn at each witness. And then when they went after this psychiatrist, the so-called experts who said it was abusive, they acknowledged that the mothers are loving parents and that there were no signs of abuse among younger girls and any of the boys. Listen to what's coming out. But that didn't stop the fascists from seizing the children. Then it came out in further testimony during cross-examination that the children were fine. The state was trying to tear families apart. What you also don't know from watching too much of the Leprechaun is that only a few of the children are actually teenage girls. Roughly a third of them are younger than four. More than two dozen of them are teenage boys. That you wouldn't learn from listening to the Blarney Thrower on Fox News. Under cross-examination, state child welfare investigator, here it comes, mean face, clipped haired, Angie Voss, conceded that there have been no, I repeat, no allegations of abuse against babies, prepubescent girls, or boys. No allegations of such. But her agency, Child Protective Services, which, by the way, is a misnomer, it's Child Abuse Services, contends that the teachings of the church amount to abuse. You hear this? Here is a mean-faced, clipped-haired deviant saying that a church is abusive, but her lifestyle, which God knows may consist of chains and whips and clubs, and I can't even mention what else, is not abusive. She went on. She said, this is a population of women who appear to have a problem making a decision on their own. So you'll make it for them? That's what you do? You'll make the decision for them? The women groaned in a chorus with their dark-suited attorneys. The women groaned when this mean-faced, clipped-haired deviant said such a thing about them. Walsh disputed that young girls have no say in who they marry. And they went on. So the expert said that the girls he interviewed said they freely chose to marry young. But he said those choices were based on lessons drilled into them from birth. The so-called psychiatrist said obedience is a very important element to their belief system. Compliance is being godly. It's part of their honoring God. So, in other words, the society at large is a better place for them, doctor? Take a look at the society at large and you tell me it's a better place for them? Look, this is going to turn out in the long run to be good for all of us. Because if these children are kept in the custody of the perverts in the state, I can guarantee you all of them will be destroyed. All of them will be destroyed. There was another professor there, Eugene Volokh, a UCLA law professor. He said, courts have generally held that a parent's belief system cannot in itself justify a child's removal. Cannot justify a child's removal. He said, for example, that a parent might teach his child that smoking marijuana is acceptable, but only when he helps the child buy pot does he cross the line. The professor went on and said the general view of the legal system is that until there is an imminent risk of harm or actual harm, you can't take the children, said the professor. And yet the raid was prompted by a hoax call. Someone identifying herself as a 16-year-old girl with the sect. No one could find that person. There are no call records of that person. This whole thing was created by the beasts inside Child Abuse Services. They should be arrested. All CPS organizations should be investigated in this country. They're the problem, not the solution. Robert, KXL, Portland, Oregon, you're on the Savage Nation.
The only way to stop these disciples of Janet Reno is to sue them out into bankruptcy.
I agree. I agree. The disciples of that beast, Janet Reno. You hit it nail on the head.
Yeah, you should start a fund. I would contribute to pay these legal fees for these kids and pursue.
Well, I'll tell you, thus far, we don't have to do that. It's interesting you should raise that point, Robert. I'll tell you why. You know that the lawyers are all doing this pro bono. Hundreds of lawyers have flooded into the state. They know what kind of abuse has gone on against these children and how the miscarriage of justice is so severe. They volunteered from the biggest firms in Texas, have flowed in there to help these kids and these mothers. They understand that the state is way out of control here.
This is the case that we've got to draw the line in. Otherwise, Janet Reno's religion of, coming in.
Religion of perversity. You could say it like it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember, Janet Reno, based upon a similar kind of allegations, used the state power to incinerate 78 men, women, and children at Waco, Texas. And she is still riding around the country in some pickup somewhere with AstroTurf in the bed, probably with a girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's no joke, by the way. Almost 80 men, women, and children were incinerated by Bill Clinton and Janet Reno. Have you forgotten that? Nobody paid for that crime. There are many crimes that were committed under the Clintons' reign of terror that have gone unpunished, incidentally. But I don't want to relive that right now. This is a similar thing to Waco, only the flamethrowers were withheld. But don't think they weren't ready to use them. Did you see the pictures that came out the other day? You ask yourself, why has the media not shown you the state troopers in body armor with machine guns, set up machine gun nests, armored personnel carriers, raiding a group of people unarmed people in a church? Do you know why? You're not going to like what I'm about to tell you. The few pictures that came out the other day were taken by some of the women in the church themselves in video camera. The cameras were all seized by the cops and by the Child Protective Services witches. They seized all of the evidence of their own abuse. Do you hear what's going on here? Do you have any idea how dangerous this is for all of you out there? Listen, I'm not a polygamist. I'm not a Mormon. I don't belong to the Mormon church. This is something that should alarm any American, atheist or not. It doesn't matter. You're letting the state seize children based upon a hoax call. Don't you understand what this is all about? I do. I was right about the Duke Durham case. She was a Durham dirtbag. I was right about the Kobe Bryant case. Within days, I knew that the accuser was a liar out for his money. I was right about so many things, and I'm right about this one. And it's important that you understand that when I'm right, you say I'm right. Don't just gloss over the fact, because this case affects all of us in many ways, in ways you probably can't even understand. Houston, Texas, Olivia, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I have to agree with you. You are right. That what's happening to those people is just massive, but it happens here in Texas on a regular basis. It happened to me. If they don't like your personality, they don't like your lifestyle, they come at you. And then even if they don't find anything wrong, like they did for me, they told me I was unfit to raise a toddler. I had a 16-year-old in the house, a 14-year-old and a 7-year-old that they did psychological tests on, couldn't find anything wrong with them. Their school grades were good, but they still took my child away from me.
Well, who made the call against you?
Scale.
Who did?
The CPS.
Oh. And they came in your house and took your children away?
And took my 2-year-old when I had a 14. They told me I was unfit to raise.
Oh, was that your child or an adopted child?
It was my grandchild.
It was your grandchild. And they felt that the state could do a better job than you could.
Exactly.
But, and where is that child today, Olivia?
I have no idea. They won't tell me anything.
Well, maybe they're using it in a cult of their own. How do we know they didn't use it in their own cult Why doesn't somebody investigate CPS? Maybe they're using your grandchild as a toy somewhere. Why, you're assured that they're such nice people? I don't trust any of them.
I've been saying...
Yeah, listen, I'm pretty clear on this, and I'm really harsh about it. And I don't mince any words here. I don't like those people. They look like oven stuffers out of Auschwitz. Only everyone I've ever seen working for them look like oven stuffers. Cincinnati, Linda, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I do not think that people should be able to prey on planes. What happened to me was in November of 2006, I took a trip to India to two separate places. When I boarded the plane at New York, the entire way, which was about 20 hours, there were Muslims getting up and going to the middle of the plane and praying, and I literally was terrified. At one point, a woman went up, and she prayed and prayed and prayed, and then she went directly to the bathroom, and I started praying, and she was in there for 20 minutes, and I thought, we're gone. But I could not believe that they allowed that, and I thought, you know, they've never allowed.
Well, it's an interesting question. The Orthodox rabbi who was taken off the airplane stood up as the plane was taking off, according to the report. The flight attendants told him he had to sit down. He didn't answer them because, according to their tradition, they can't talk during a prayer. And his friends who were with him said he'll be through in 2 minutes. That didn't matter. They took him off the plane anyway. Now, I believe people should be allowed to pray on an airplane. For God's sakes, you're telling me if you're flying on a plane and you're in a storm, you shouldn't be able to pull out a Bible and pray? Or if you're flying for 20 hours and you're a religious person, you shouldn't be able to pray? I disagree with you. I think that there need to be some rules about when you can pray and where, and that you need to comply with the commands of the flight crew. That's a little different than telling people not to pray. I mean, for example, even in my own case, I've been on a plane and I've gotten into storms. I've pulled out a prayer book and I started to pray. It makes me feel good. You know, if I'm going to go down and the plane's going to blow up, what should I be doing there? And since they don't let you drink during a storm anymore, I mean, in the old days, I would just order another two little bottles, but they won't serve them to you now in a storm. They close the bar down altogether. So since the bar is closed down, I have to reach for the next best thing, which is the Bible. I mean, what do you want? You know, you got to do what you got to do. It's the Savage Nation, and it's a serious day, and we're having a good time. We're talking about children. We're talking about the power of the state over families. And, you know, it's interesting that this polygamist raid came a few weeks after the state of California, which, as you well know, is a Marxist state by and large, just waiting for the right to seize all property and all children. The Marxist state of California passed a law, started to circulate in the so-called state assembly here, that homeschoolers would have to be certified by the state before they could continue to homeschool their children. It was a chilling, chilling, chilling shot across the bow of individual rights. You understand that. And the power of the socialist state. But if you people cannot see what the state has done in Texas is the worst form of state abuse I've seen in my lifetime since Waco, I don't know how to explain it to you. On top of it all, it was based upon a false phone call. I'll be right back. Headline, 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 breaking news. CNN reporter faces drug charge after arrest in Central Park, found with a small amount of methamphetamine in his pocket. But he avoided jail time by agreeing to undergo drug counseling and therapy. Now, who is he? Richard Quest. You may have seen him on, he hosts CNN Business Traveler and Quest. He's a very hypermanicky guy with big teeth, with a wacko Cockney accent. Often wondered where he got his manic energy from. But it goes to my statement, my acronym, Red Diaper Doper Baby, RDDB, doesn't it? Red Diaper Doper Baby. At his arraignment in Manhattan's criminal court, Judge Anthony Ferrara told Quest that if he attends the counseling, and therapy designated by prosecutors for the next 6 months, his case will be dismissed. Then the judge allowed Mr. Quest to leave court without posting bail. But the judge warned that if Quest failed to comply with the counseling, he could be back in court and on his way to jail. Quest's lawyer, Alan Abramson, said his client did not realize the park had a curfew. He was returning to his hotel with friends. CNN had no immediate comment on Quest's arrest. Now, I have a question for you. What if a 17-year-old black kid from Harlem was arrested at 3:40 a.m. in Central Park and possessed a small amount of methamphetamine? Do you think that Manhattan's criminal court would have remanded him to Rikers Island for sentencing? Or do you think that they would have said to this poor black kid that you can get counseling? I'll let you decide whether there's a several-tier justice system in America. And while we're at it, let's not forget the big crimes. The big crimes occurred on Wall Street, and no one has paid for them. Several people in the hedge fund business made over $3 billion last year, including a man who formerly was a code breaker at the Pentagon. And before this weekend's, I got to repeat it. I don't know the man. I'm not accusing him of wrongdoing. I'm asking a question. Man works for the Pentagon for years, his job code breaking. He has access to high-powered supercomputers that no one else can get access to. He then goes into the private sector and presto develops computer programs for trading stocks, and he makes over $3 billion in 1 year. Question, were any of these programs that he used developed with any aid of the Defense Department supercomputers, and were they developed while he was still an employee of the U.S. government? Or further, did he develop these programs after he left government service with the help of a few friends still in the Defense Department with access to these computers? If I were an investigator at the SEC, you can bet your boots I'd be asking these questions. Why? Because that's your job. Your job is to investigate this kind of behavior, not the little traitor on the floor. Your job is to get the big fish, not the little fish. But you and I both know, just as in the world of drugs and everywhere else, it's only the little fish that go to jail and wear the orange jumpsuit. That's the world you live in, so you better keep your nose clean and you better fly the straight and narrow. Sacramento, Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Hello?
Next case. I don't answer how I'm doing. I go dead. See, this is not a regular talk show. Other shows say, I'm doing well, how are you? The reason I don't do it is not that I'm a rude person, is if I'm in a car and I hear someone call a talk show and they say, hi, how are you, Gene? And Gene says, well, fine. And you hear the cream cheese coming out of his mouth. Or, how are you, Bertha? Well, I'm just great. You know, I turn it off. It sounds like shortwave radio to me, like Breaker One. So let us try again. Portland, Oregon. Stacy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I bought into the whole polygamy thing, hook, line, and sinker, really, until I started listening to you. And I wanted to ask you if you...
Wait, you mean you practiced polygamy?
No, the whole story.
I'm joking. I'm saying you bought into the Fox News version of sex abuse, child abuse, sex abuse, bed in the temple, sex abuse, child abuse, a hair was found in the bed, sex abuse. Well, that one, yeah, I get it.
And I wanted to ask you if you caught the news clip. I thought it was on CNN, maybe it was on Fox and Friends more likely, of the Nazis down there when they said, your religious freedom is okay, however, it stops when children are being abused. So it's whatever their definition of abuse is.
That's right. They are now saying, they brought in some crackpot psychiatrist who said that abuse consists of an authoritarian church. Well, by that definition, all of the Orthodox Jews are practicing child abuse because it's an authoritarian division of the Jewish people.
You're awesome, Mike.
So what, should all the children of Orthodox Jews be taken away by the state, God forbid? Of course not. It's a patriarchal society. The father runs the show. The father is the leader. Then you're going to consider that child abuse? Who is going to define that? The mean-faced, clipped-haired deviants in Child Protective Services? That's the new Godhead in America? Thank you. No, this case is of such paramount importance, I don't think many people understand it, but you will eventually. Just as I was right about Kobe Bryant being innocent, just as I was right about the Duke lacrosse players being innocent, and just as I was right about the Dubai port steals being a danger, just as I was right about the McCain-Kennedy bill being a danger, I have been right about this all along, and I want to thank you. I want to thank all of my listeners today for sticking with me through thick and through thin, for being here for me and actually listening to me. Because remember something, talk is not cheap. Talk is very expensive. Talk is words. Words are ideas. Ideas stem from God. God wants the truth. God seeks the truth. That's what I try to achieve every day on this program. Thank you for listening.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage. That's if a check, a money order, cash. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech. The dog is not in the studio today. He's getting a bath. And I don't know, maybe I'm getting, maudlin. I thought about him dying. And he's 2 years old, but this is the whole thing about life. It's that whole Buddhist wheel thing. And you feel it more acutely sometimes with an animal than you do with a human being. It's a strange thing. I buried a father, I buried a mother, I buried a brother. You know, all of it breaks your heart and you never get over any of it. But the animals, I don't know, there's something about them that's so different than people. Don't get me wrong, they're not better. And I know about the gradation of importance. Believe me, I haven't lost my mind altogether. I'm not Al Gore after all. But the fact of the matter is, you think of this innocent creature. Never hurt a soul. And I got a box upstairs with the other dog in it, the ashes, Snowy. I don't want to get you crazy here, but you start to wonder. Then you look at your own flesh and you realize that this is God's plan and this is how he wants it. Otherwise, you would have been a god yourself. He didn't want you to be immortal. He wanted you to be mortal so you'd understand that you have a short period of time to act on the stage and do it right and get it right the first time, or you're going to come back 1,000 more times or whatever. And you may not come back even in the form that you were in. You might come back as a cockroach next time, or even worse, the mayor of San Francisco. You can never tell. But I thought a little Teddy, you know, I just don't think I can take this one. And, you know, it's like he's 2 and he could live to 12 and that's it. I don't think I could deal with another set of ashes in a box because, you know, I'm going to watch him get old and I don't want to. Anyway, I got to breed him. That's all. I got to have a bunch of little teddies. I was thinking about that. You know, that's reproduction. That's the whole deal. Make little teddies and keep a few of them, like people do with their dogs. You ever think people with like 2 or 3 dogs say, like, who's that? Well, that's his mother. That's his father. That's his brother. I used to like that. But they were like other people who could have that many dogs. I never could. We were like always a one-dog family. You know, there were people always had like 3 or 2. And yeah, that's his mother. And you, oh, really? They look so young, man. It looks like his sister. No, it's his mother. So how come he's on her backside like that? That's like illegal. But here we are, and there's Teddy, and he's in the prime of his life. He's like 2 and a half. That makes him like 20. I don't know. Like dog thing doesn't work anymore because like they used to die at 10. So it was 7 years to 1. They were dropped dead at 10. That was 7 to human. Now they live to like 26 with like Viagra and hair implants. You hear things with dogs now. It's frightening. My dog is 23. Oh, great. Cost me $39,000 last year to keep it alive. I hear stories like this, and these are not stupid people. They're not at all. I know people who spend that kind of money. They had cancer and a cure to $39,000. God bless them. Unbelievable the kind of things people do. So where was I when I got so rudely interrupted? I got intertructed. Well, here's where I'm going with it. The preciousness of a berry, the preciousness of a dog, and the life that we lead, which is so wonderful in this great country of ours, the freedoms we have, and that there are people on earth who spend every waking minute trying to figure out how to kill us, harm us, and destroy other people. Their entire life from the morning they wake up until they go to sleep at night is how to kill, how to maim, how to hurt, and how to humiliate other people. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. We have a nation that spends millions of dollars to keep an alcoholic stew bum alive if he should trip and break his hand in the streets. EMS, the ambulances, and Mr. Smith, and how are you, and rush him to the hospital and around, get the oxygen, and there he is. Every life is precious. You know, hundreds of thousands of dollars later, and there's the bum in the street puking on himself again 3 weeks later. Every life is precious, but at what cost, I ask myself. It's like everyone votes. Yeah, that really makes sense to me. It sure does. That's why we get the kind of leaders we have. Everyone votes. Like, there are certain rules I would establish as to why everyone shouldn't vote. Like, let's start with an IQ test. That would be the minimum. Okay, number one, speak English. You can't speak English, you don't vote. That means you don't know what's going on. You have no right to be in the country to begin with, but you don't want to learn a language. Then you don't have the right to vote. That's A. B, an IQ test. Minimum 100. Okay, 100. 100 IQ should be the breaking point. Number three, you're on welfare, you don't vote. Because you're only going to vote yourself a raise at the expense of those who are paying your salary. Okay? You lose the privileges that you had before you went on public assistance. That might save America right there. But then I think about life, man. You know, everything is so precious. And then we got people on this earth, radical Islamists. I never really encountered this in studying history going back perhaps until a time in history of Attila the Hun, who, let's say, ransacked every city and killed everyone in the city that he invaded. But to be facing an enemy of such barbarism is hard to believe for a society that is so, you would say, evolved, but it's actually quite barbaric itself. We in the West are living in a sort of post-Christian barbarism. Now, that's a very interesting topic that I wanted to get to. But the sexual liberation movement, the progressives, let's start with the progressives. What do they advocate? Sexual liberation. What has it led to? Homosexuality, transsexuality, bisexuality, abortion on demand, round-the-clock pornography, soft drugs, euthanasia for anyone who's not perfect. And so, therefore, we are living in this postmodern liberalism, which has become, in essence, a form of cultural barbarism. Under the guise of tolerance and acceptance, we are actually a barbaric civilization. And all of the traditions that we grew up with are being steamrolled over by these cultural degenerates. Abortions become the norm, divorce becomes the norm, pornography is acceptable, drugging yourself is acceptable, being a single mother is acceptable, teenage sluts is acceptable, bisexuality, homosexuality, transsexuality are considered lifestyle choices, and now the Dutch want to go a step further. It's not enough that they have sex museums and sex clubs. It's not enough that whores advertise their bodies in storefront windows. It's not enough that marijuana is legal. No, that's not good enough. It's not good enough that euthanasia is rampant in Holland going down to the age of 12. What are the last frontiers for the cultural degenerate barbarians? It's child pornography and engaging in pedophilia. A new group, a new party called Charity, Freedom, and Diversity, with emphasis on the last word, because I've told you for years, I was the first one to tell you in my first book, The Savage Nation, that diversity is a code word for perversity. The newly formed Charity, Freedom, and Diversity Party advocates reducing the legal age for sex from 16 to 12. The Dutch pedophiles are also demanding that child pornography and sex with animals should be legal. They also said that citizens should be allowed to go naked in public. And their party platform is, we're going to shake The Hague awake. Now, their ultimate goal is to abolish any limits on the legal age for sex with any child at any age. Their argument is that a ban just makes children curious. This is the world in collapse. This is the West in collapse. This is the world that we are trying to make sense out of. It is impossible to make sense out of a cultural barbarism of this kind. And so when you hear the word progressive, or when you hear the word diversity, you've got to understand who is behind it. And you've got to understand what you're fighting for. And you've got to understand that this is connected to the rise of radical Islam throughout the West. They are absolutely part and parcel of the same exact situation. Now, let me explain that in more detail for those of you who want to hear it. And how do I relate the rise of radical Islam with its restrictions, with its throwback mentality, and with its hatred and its murderous nature with the progressive movement in the West? It's quite simple. You have to think about biology to understand it. You have to think of the AIDS virus, which is symptomatic, actually symbolic, rather, of what I'm talking about. The AIDS virus is actually quite symbolic. It's a retrovirus, and it invades the body, but it doesn't really cause an infection for a while. It lays in wait. And while it lays in wait, the retrovirus, the HIV virus, it starts to attack the immune system itself. And only after the immune system itself is weakened can infections arise within the human being that has been infected with the HIV virus. This is what liberalism is. Liberalism is, in essence, the HIV virus. And it weakens the defense cells of a nation. What are the defense cells of a nation? Well, the church. They've attacked particularly the Catholic Church for 30 straight years. The police attacked for the last 50 straight years by the ACLU viruses. And the military attacked for the last 50 years by the Barbara Boxer viruses on our planet. And so when they weaken our defense cells, what happens is the opportunistic infections arise because our surveillance is not permitted. The reaction of our white blood cells is diminished because they're not permitted to react because they've been weakened by the liberal virus. And consequently, infections arise. So what are these infections? Well, you can name many of them. Now enter the arise of radical Islam into the Western world. How does that fit in? It is a counterpoint. It's actually part of God's plan, as I see it. I know this is shocking. Many of you can't follow where I'm going, but I'll go where I have to go in order to traverse through this jungle of thought. This is all part and parcel of God's plan. God is saying to us in the West, I have given you the Garden of Eden. I have given you the milk and the honey that is promised in the Bible. And you have despoiled the land I have given you. You have destroyed and despoiled the Garden of Eden that I have given you. And so therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce an element into this Garden of Eden so that you can see there are consequences to your behavior. And they are going to kill you. They're going to cut your throats. They're going to keep doing this until you realize how far you have gone astray. That's how I see it. It's amazing, but I mean, many of you don't want to accept this. Many of you want to think that radical Islam has arisen in a vacuum. It hasn't risen in a vacuum. It is arising as a counterpoint to the cultural barbarism of the West. Make no mistake about it. Yes, you can also include territorial expansionism, if you wish, meaning the desire for Islam to sweep across the planet as it had once done before when it conquered two-thirds of the planet through the sword and through the flame and through throat cutting. They're just doing it again, only this time they're achieving it not so much with the sword and the flame, but with the very techniques of liberalism that are in place in our societies that have gulled us and made us lay down our normal weapons of survival. Through the sword of tolerance, through the sword of acceptance, through the sword of liberalism, if you want to put it in that category, the radical Islamic movement is causing the greatest upheaval in our society and our Western societies that has been seen since the Industrial Revolution. We are going through, in essence, a radical religious revolution. And either the people in the West come to understand that they're going to disappear, their children will certainly not survive, or their grandchildren won't be here as we know it. They will not be here. If you take the arc we are on, I see a very terrible prognosis for our children.
Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Let's say you're subject to depression. Anyone with a brain is, incidentally. Anyone who can think and feel is subject to depression. Hey, hello, secret. Secret to everyone out there. Anybody who can think and feel and actually knows what's going on in America and the world gets depressed from time to time. But anybody, why am I depressed? Just look around. Take a look at Dennis Kucinich, Chris Dodd, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and you'll know why you're depressed. Take a look at George Bush. Take a look at what's going on around the world. and you have a good reason to understand why you're agitated and depressed. But the fact of the matter is, it's been part of the human condition from the beginning of time. People have always gotten depressed, but they found ways around it other than going to some whack job who put them on an antidepressant, you know, so they could wind up, you know, going on a rampage in a mall 3 years later after bottling up all of their emotions when the Prozac wore off or whatever. You mark my words. You want to mark this one down? Mark this one down. In your lifetime, Prozac-like compounds will be banned because of the violent reactions that too often occur in users of these compounds. You mark my words. The day will come that the medico-pharmaceutical landscape will change, where they'll no longer have a grip over our government to the extent that they do, and people will finally understand that virtually every school shooting was conducted by a kid who was put on these drugs, either Ritalin first and then this stuff later on in life, to deal with the anxiety that had been induced by the Ritalin, and that eventually their violence was a direct side effect of these drugs. You mark my words, this drug will be seen, this class of drugs will eventually be outlawed because of the subpopulation in which it induces violence. And it's quite a large subpopulation, or suicide, by the way. There's a whole spate of suicides and homicides being committed by Prozac takers. Say, oh, he's crazy. I'm crazy. You wait and see how crazy I am. I guarantee you this drug will become, it'll become one of the, it'll be like, what's that drug? It'll be the thalidomide of the mind. This class of drugs will be determined to be the thalidomide of the mind. Another new phrase for you for 2008. This class of drugs will be seen as producing freakish results in people. So what I was getting at is there are natural ways to deal with these, with anxiety, for example. A lot of people suffer anxiety. Anxiety is part of the human condition as well. It's not an abnormal phenomenon. It's not unique to you if you feel you're anxious. You don't need to reach for a pill. Why do you think so many people are running in the morning and are running around reservoirs and exhausting themselves? They also feel these things. They also have frustrations and fears and anxieties and feelings of dread or running of the mind. You know, the Darwin himself suffered from a condition that today is being treated as a medical condition. It never was a medical condition. I think he called it running headedness, where his thoughts, he couldn't control his thoughts, and they ran on and on and on. I have it all the time. That's where creativity is a fountain. It's like a bubbling fountain. You don't bottle it up with a whack job putting you on a drug. Is because of the drug nation. We have Bush as a president. We have global warming as an idea that would even be accepted for a nanosecond from a shyster like Gore. And we have a slate of candidates, all of whom make you want to puke. I'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Now, I want to move on to a different topic. There was a great article in the New York Times yesterday, in the Sunday Times, called The Falling Down Professions. And it's about doctors and lawyers who wish they were not. It says that about a fifth of the associates in large law firms in any given year drop out of large law firms, and 20% of lawyers overall will suffer depression at some point in their careers. It says as of 2006, nearly 60% of doctors polled by the American College of Physician executives said they had considered getting out of medicine because of low morale in doctors now, and nearly 70% knew someone who already had left medicine. A lot of them don't like medicine anymore because they've been turned into paper pushers. Law and medicine, we read, have always been very demanding, but they were prestigious in the past. They made good money. They had authority. They were perched atop the other professions. Everybody thought being a doctor or a lawyer was the greatest thing to be. But we realize today that they've lost their allure and their status, and it is not about money. They say that the pay is still good, and people know that. But They say something is missing, say many doctors, lawyers, and career experts, and that is the old sense of purpose, of respect, of living at the center of American society, and in essence, embodying its definition of what is success, that is being a doctor or a lawyer. So what is going on is multifaceted as to why people are feeling these things. In fact, applications to law schools and medical schools have declined from recent highs. The number of law school applicants dropped from 98,000 in 2004 to 83,000 in 2006. And that was on top of a 5% slip the year before. How about medical schools? Remember how hard it used to be to get into a medical school? In 97, there were 46,000 applicants. It's now 42,000. So what are youngsters who are intelligent doing now? Well, I guess they all want to be a web designer or something like that. Some still go into these fields because of the higher calling of the profession of being a doctor or a lawyer, and they don't care about the social cachet. They care about doing you know, good for society. But for a brief segment right now, are there any doctors or lawyers out there who wish they were not? Or are there any former doctors or lawyers who left their professions and went into something else? If you care to call us at 1-800-449-8255, you can do so. And I'm doing this because I want young people to see if they can learn something from your call. Would you recommend that they do become a lawyer or a doctor? Now, let's start with money. Money is what we're all interested in. Do you know that associates at major New York law firms start at $150,000 to $180,000 a year? That's right out of law school. Partners at the country's biggest 100 firms took home an average of $1.2 million in 2006. Now, that's paltry compared to talk show hosts, but nevertheless, it's a lot for the professions other than the media. So outside of the media, they're making very good money. Many senior investment bankers, through bonuses and salaries, will average $2.25 million to $2.75 million. Doctors, whether you know it or not, vary in income tremendously. A typical physician might earn $150,000 to $300,000. A surgeon, $250,000 to $400,000. A top surgeon can earn $750,000 a year, and a superstar surgeon, $1 million or more a year. That's not really a lot of money for the kind of skill set that they have when you think about that. But something is going on. Things are going on. And what is it that's going on? Well, I don't really know what's going on. I have a feeling it's because of the control that the doctors and lawyers have lost. The lawyers have lost control of their lives in terms of the hours they have to put in. The doctors have lost control to the HMOs who make them, you know, call up a clerk to get permission to assign a wheelchair to a person with a muscular dystrophy. The doctors are also very upset with men like John Edwards, the biggest fraud in the history of the election I've ever seen, a man who built his fortune through lawsuits based upon fraudulent documentation and moronic audiences in the Ozarks. I don't know how he gets away with this. I know how. He's got idiots in the media who won't challenge him and say, look, Mr. Edwards, you say you're for change and you're an independent, but you're a crook, basically. You're a crooked lawyer who made all of his money lying to dumb juries without teeth in the Ozarks. You told him that a person who was born with a congenital disease was made this way by a doctor's mistake, Mr. Edwards. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? John Edwards, have you no shame? Well, you see, I'm not in the major media in that sense, or I'd ask him those questions. Now, you know why Obama won't come on the show, or why Edwards won't come on the show? Or is it that they got something to hide, and they're afraid of a little truth? So anyway, the question to you is the falling down professions of lawyers or doctors. These are not my opinions. I have nothing against lawyers or doctors per se. It was a great article in the New York Times that I thought was worthy of airing on the Savage Nation today. And I'm asking you, if you're a doctor or a lawyer who wishes you were not, why not? Or what would you say to a youngster? Would you recommend that they become a doctor or a lawyer? Let's begin in the land of lawyers in New York City on WOR. Tom, welcome. Go ahead, please.
I'm Michael, how are you? I've
Good.
Been a lawyer for about 8 years now, graduated from a law school in New York. I was born and raised in New York. And my advice to a youngster who is in college or
prior to college, determining whether or not they'd like to be a lawyer, my advice to them would be to go a different route. And it boils down, in my opinion, to my experience, I should say, is it's not what I thought it was going to be when I entered college and entered law school. The money is good. I'd rather not say where I'm employed, but I do work.
No, I understand. Well, what is it about law that grates you, makes you depressed, frankly? It just doesn't make you happy.
Well, quite frankly, I'm a litigator, and I specialize in commercial litigation as well as plaintiffs' personal injury work, which you routinely call slip and fall lawyers.
All right, whatever. Forget what I say in my characterizations. You know, we all use lawyers whether we like them or not. But the fact of the matter is there's something in the profession you don't like, and what is it?
It's just a game. It's just a big game. It's whoever has the best poker face wins, especially with personal injury litigation. It's not what you know. It's who you know.
All right. In other words, yeah, right. In other words, what system, like what judge system you're in or whatever. But, I was shocked to read about 10 years ago that justice and law are not one and the same. In fact, justice has nothing to do with the law. That's fundamentally, you probably went in as a kid thinking that you were going to bring justice to issues, right?
I thought for certain I was going to do right by clients and remedy wrongs that were done to my clients. And at the end of the day, some clients are happy, other clients are not happy. And sometimes it's outside of my control. I do what I do.
In other words, cases get decided for reasons other than justice.
The time. Cases get decided sometimes because, the judge and the attorney know each other very, very well. Cases get decided.
I once had an arbitration in New York City many, many years ago before I was in radio. I hired some shyster lawyer in New York. Cost me a lot of money, which I really had to scrape together. And during the break, I happened to be in the stall in the bathroom, and the lawyer I hired didn't know I was in there. You know what's coming, don't you? He went in the bathroom. I overheard him talking to the opposing attorney, and they worked a deal out on my behalf. Can you believe this? Isn't that what you're talking about?
Yes, I can believe that because it happened.
I was in an arbitration against a corrupt vitamin company from Long Island at the time. They should be visited upon the fifth generation, the crooks that they were. Thanks for the call. Dallas, Texas. John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I'm a board-certified anesthesiologist in the Metroplex, and I have a lot of problems with my profession.
Well, wait. Now, first of all, anesthesiologists are at the top of their profession in terms of earnings. Isn't that still true?
It is true.
So what does an anesthesiologist earn in dollars, and not what you make, but generally, what's the approximate income?
$300,000 to $350,000 a year.
But what is the problem that you have with your specialty, or is it with the field of medicine in general?
Well, first about my specialty, I have unqualified nurses who try to legislate that they can do the same job as I can. I have government regulations which every day put more separation between me and my patient's relationship. To be with socialistic colleagues who want to usher in an era of Obama politics, which will destroy our medicine.
So in other words, you're saying you're no longer a doctor. In essence, they're turning you into something less than the doctor in the room, the bureaucrat. It's very much like a soft communism. That's what you're really saying, because when Mao Zedong took over China, he took the surgeons out of the surgery. He put them in the laundry room if he didn't shoot them. And he took untrained laundresses and put them in the surgery. And he said, you do the surgery. And if they said they couldn't, he said, you're a counter-revolutionary. And he had them shot. That's more or less what's happening in America, isn't it?
That's exactly what's happening with these nurses. And furthermore, what's happening is we have the socialized government using the mid-level professionals to try to take out the doctors through class warfare and jealousy. They look up to us. They want to tear us down to regulations. They want to make everyone the lowest common denominator.
Isn't that terrible? It's awful. And, of course, the patient is at risk as a result of that, of using ignoramuses. You mean they're making decisions as to what kind of anesthesia to give and in what dose?
Now, nurse anesthetists work underneath anesthesiologists in a beautiful model. But some of them want to fight for independence when they are nowhere near as qualified.
And I get it. So the nurse practitioner now wants to become an anesthesiologist.
Basically, yes, sir.
Okay, and the HMOs would like that because they can pay them less than they pay you.
they would love it, and it's a perfect class warfare. Who wants to fight against nurses or when you have the big bad doctors to go against? It's really
terrible. My gosh. So it's the socialized medicine that's killing the medical field.
It is, and it's not about the money. I do really well. I want to be one-on-one with my patients. I don't want some joker from above or below telling me how to treat my patients. I want to be able to take my patient, treat them one-on-one, and have a close relationship. But because of the bureaucrats, I can't do that.
I hear you, my friend. Thanks. This is a very enlightening topic. But we're finding out that 60% of doctors polled said they had considered getting out of medicine because of low morale. Can you hear this? And lawyers in big firms, 20%, a fifth of them drop out of the law, legal profession. And it's not about money. It's about other things. So I'm just, for another few minutes, for young people who are listening who are trying to decide whether to be a doctor or a lawyer, an Indian chief, I've had lawyers or doctors call and explain what we're talking about here. Thus far, we heard one lawyer call who said that he's disenchanted because justice and the law are not one and the same. So if you're an idealist, don't go into the legal profession. And we just had a doctor who called who said that he doesn't have the authority to be the doctor he's trained to be. They're trying to give it to people with almost no training whatsoever to save money. Los Angeles, 8:30 on the dial. Jack, next up. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Great to talk to you and great to talk to our radio host who actually has a few degrees there, just a different level of conversation.
Thank you.
Listeners as well. But I'm 28. I recently graduated from a top 25 law school, full scholarship. Advice that I would give to anybody who's considering going into law school is not necessarily to dissuade them from going to law school, but look at the percentages of those who decide to take that law degree and go into business and use it so that you can protect yourself from all the damn avaricious other flipping attorneys that are going to come after you for
You mean to protect you from the John Edwards in the legal profession?
You need that. Oh, good Lord. Don't get me started on MedMal, Mike. That's it's a disgrace.
I don't understand how this issue of his having made his fortune through fraudulent claims has never come up from the media. I can't understand that.
You're going to be hard-pressed to find any law school where idealism is anything other than pure socialism. You're either in it for the money, you're going for the very top law firms. I think the quality of life stinks per hour. You're not making that much if for your first 2-3 years, quite frankly. And if you want to be an idealist and you're conservative, don't go to law school, my friend, unless you use that law degree to go in another area, which is exactly what I'm
saying. Wait, I want to pause right here because I think getting a law degree is actually a very good thing for mental training. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Definitely, definitely. I was.
I have a very wealthy friend who said to me that just getting a law degree, not necessarily passing the bar, is an excellent way to keep the mind sharp, exercise it. And if you're going to go into another field, having a law degree is always a good background for that reason alone, that you've trained your mind to be focused and logical.
No, it's a great way to train the mind, quite frankly. I went to a large public school here in Los Angeles, starts with a UC, and I was bored.
Well, hail, I went to UC Berkeley, so I'm a proud graduate of one of the greatest university systems in the world, and it certainly was when I went there many years ago. I can't say it has collapsed completely. It's still probably pretty good.
Yeah, no, I went there for undergrad, and quite frankly, it wasn't that difficult. I was really taken aback in my undergraduate training, but the legal training is something completely different. I would definitely recommend for any youngsters to go, but with the qualification that if you really do want to practice law, understand exactly what it is that you're doing. That's why you have so many people who ultimately decide they're going to become professors. Anybody with a whit of sense for quality of life, the hours stink, Mike. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I would never.
What is it? 80 hours a week is pretty standard, or more for a young law graduate.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you don't come in on Saturday, don't bother coming in on Sunday. Quite frankly, and at the end of the day, though.
You know, but wait. Let me pause there. You know, Jack, I learned from business people many years ago, everyone in business works 6 days a week today. Anyone who really runs their own business is working 24/7 one way or the other. They're rarely off. If you're running your own business, you're never off. So I don't think that's the issue. I think it's the type of hours that you're putting in where you're running a clock all the time. That can get to you, right?
No, for those that are beginning in large law firms, which are roughly, it's the top third of a class, and I would say the top 25 or so law schools for your large markets, California, New York, you're doing strictly research. to a great extent, all that research is going to go to benefit somebody else. They're going to take credit for it, and you're pretty much out
of luck. Well, it's like an assistant professor or a graduate student with a PhD who does the research for the professor who takes all the laurels. There's nothing new in that. It also sharpens your mind in the first few years, but it's a question of, are people prepared for that kind of system? I don't know. So we've talked a little bit about law and medicine, and yet nobody, you want to go back to politics? Let's go back to Edwards. How does a man get away with this crime? It's right out of Balzac. Behind every great fortune, at least in France at the time, there was a great crime. Edwards' fortune is built upon the great crime of lying to Ozark juries without teeth or without much between the ears. And yet not one idiot in the media will challenge him.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Politicians are so full of crap. Here in San Francisco, for example, they banned plastic bags in supermarkets. They said it's bad for the environment because the plastic bags don't deteriorate or disintegrate. They sit in the landfill for thousands of years. They're very concerned about the environment in San Francisco, as I say. So now you have to have a paper bag when you leave a grocery store. And if you're walking out in the rain, it doesn't matter to the city of transsexuals who run the city. The paper bag, of course, disintegrates in the rain and your groceries get wet. The plastic was much better and much more convenient. But let's take it on the face of it. So plastic is not biodegradable, right? Then how come they distribute condoms in San Francisco like M&Ms? Isn't that made of a plastic? You're telling me that the condoms that are so popular with the city transsexuals don't sit in landfills for 20,000 years? You see the hypocrisy and stupidity? Or they tell us that the salmon population is dying out, that the salmon here, we're supposed to worry about, that the salmon are not breeding. We don't read that the people are not breeding, only that the salmon are not breeding. So now they're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars. Record low number of salmon reaching Central Valley could mean severe fishing restrictions. And they try to analyze why the spawning, the number of salmon that are spawning, has decreased. Nobody will say that perhaps the toxic garbage that is dumped offshore in San Francisco is poisoning the oceans.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.